Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. Wow, it's a beautiful morning after a little bit of rain. We have plenty of sunshine right now. And yesterday, got up to like 84 degrees. And I always take the convertible out when it hits 72. Been doing that for over 40 years. But this year, I just didn't feel like taking it out yesterday. Oh, well, we'll get her out one of these days. One of the big things, big thrill I have annually. And another thrill I have is being able to host the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. And I have guests in studio. And let's get to it and say hello and good morning to Nate Ikza. Did I say that right?
Ikaza.
Ikaza.
Yep.
Okay. You get that all the time, I'm sure.
I get it a lot.
All right. You want to pull that microphone a little bit closer?
We'll get.
All right. There you go. So, Nate Ikaza. Ikaza.
Ikaza. Yep.
You say Ik?
E.
Ikaza.
It's actually E. Most people say I.
Because
think of it as I cause a lot of trouble.
Ha ha, that's cute. Okay, but it's spelled with an I, but you use it as an E.
Correct.
Where does that name come from?
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua?
Yep.
I know where that is.
Yep.
I had an uncle that was a priest, and he would go down there all the time and recruit students for an academy in St. Paul. Nicaragua.
Yep.
Hector, what was his name? Anyhow, are you from Nicaragua?
Nope, my father is.
Your dad is?
My father is.
Well,
yep.
You're going to have an interesting show this morning
to
learn all about that. But first of all, let's let people know what you do. Now, you own a business, I believe, in Randolph?
Correct. We're just south of Randolph. Got Nate's Garage out there on Highway 56. Full automotive repair. Do a little high performance. But generally automotive repair. Do dabble in the diesels, starting to get pretty popular with that. Obviously, being in the farm community, we do a lot of pickup trucks, but not unusual to see the occasional piece of equipment in there getting worked on as well. So,
now, are you just, would it be just north of that restaurant bar that's out there?
We're just south of that, actually, so you're about a mile north of the 19 split going to Cannon and about a mile and a half south of the intersection Randolph there. So right next to the Christmas tree farm. Otherwise, a lot of people know of the Boy Scout Road. We're right on the end of that. So.
Well, I think of the Boy Scout Road on 19.
Sure. So if you were to follow that west, we'd be at the other end of that, so right on 56.
Okay. So, and I'm going out 19.
Yep.
I get to 56,
yep.
And there's a stop sign.
Yep.
And then 19 jogs for about a mile.
Yep.
And I take a left to get to your place.
You're going
to
continue to go straight north on 56, and we'll be the next left.
Okay. And how far back off 56?
Right on 56.
Okay. One day I was looking for a fella had told me there was a tractor pull or something like that. And I couldn't find the darn thing. And I was I stopped at a place that there was a repair shop that was near that restaurant. And they couldn't find it, but he used his cell phone to find out if it would be on there. And we never could find the thing, but it was a crazy deal. So you got how many employees?
We're actually at 4 right now.
Wow.
So, yep, it's growing. Started it in 2015, and it's taken off, pretty much doubling every year. So
great.
Hopefully we continue that trend and...
Wow.
And continue to serve the community. So
you could be on Shark Tank.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, the numbers look good, and you want to build a huge place or something. So you mentioned diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there aren't a whole lot of diesel mechanics around from what I don't know. Am I right?
You are correct there, yep.
And so therefore, to find a shop that does diesel work is pretty nice.
Correct, yeah.
So... Do you? How many of the 4 employees there can work on diesels?
3 out of 4.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So
okay.
Got a lot of truck driving background, a lot of farming background in our employees. Very knowledgeable staff.
Well, why is it hard to find a diesel mechanic?
Well, honestly, I think people don't want to work on them because they're dirty, they stink, and they're heavy. So.
Oh, okay. Those are three good reasons I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
And plus, I have no idea how to do things. Are they easier to fix or less?
It's just a machine. Machine's a machine.
Yeah.
So as long as you know the concept, it's all about that.
Well,
I
mentioned my convertible earlier, and I have driven it into a repair shop where one of the young employees looked at it and said, "What is that?" "That's a carburetor."
Right.
"Really? Boy, this must be old."
Yeah, right.
But I have a friend that knows how to fix those things, and he has these big mechanic hands.
Yep.
And he picks up these little tiny springs and little tiny screws, and I go, "Man, I'm too impatient for that kind of a job." You need a lot of patience.
You do. Yep. That's something you don't want to rush, and that really is a dying art.
It's how about when people bring it in and you say, "Well, this is going to be, 3-day job." Do you usually get it done in 3 days?
We do our best, yep. We do have loaner cars, so that helps. That takes a lot of pressure. We do a lot of shuttle running as well. So.
And what is the name of the business?
Nate's Garage.
Nate's Garage.
Yep.
Okay. Nate and I met when he at the bowling.
Correct.
And, of course, I wasn't there last night, the final. I just wasn't up to it. And I knew that our team was not going to be what we would do is contribute to the jackpot of the winners.
Sure.
That's all. And so anyhow, how did it go last night?
We had a tough run on our team.
Your team's one of the best.
Well, we were up in the top four, so.
Is that all?
That was it, yep.
So when you say top four, you were fourth?
We were fourth.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I was trying to avoid admitting that.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. When our team, Carlton, bowled your team, Nate's Garage, yep. And we were going, I think, I don't know what game it was, the second or third game, and two of these guys had all strikes up to the 10th frame, right?
That was me and Sean, yep.
Yeah, was that the first, second, or third game? Do you remember?
I believe it was the second.
Okay. So here we are bowling against a guy like me, and I bowled against you. And here we are going into the 10th, and they both, you and Sean, had 9 strikes. And he started, and you were second.
Yep.
So Sean gets up there, bam, a strike. And then he throws his next ball, strike.
Yep.
Then he throws his next ball, strike, a perfect game, 300, yep. Crowd went crazy, everybody was happy for him, he was happy,
yep.
And now we have to settle down because now you get up there, and in the 10th frame, how did you do?
I got the wobbly knees, so nope, couldn't pull it off.
Did you get a strike in the 10th?
I did not.
Oh,
nope.
So it was but you got a spare.
We got a spare, yep.
And then you got a strike.
Yep.
Yeah, so what'd you end up with?
279.
Gee. Yeah,
that's still a good game.
What's that feel like? And I avoided you while this was going on because I didn't want to say or do or get in the way or anything because you had that great game going. So what's it like being that close to a 300?
Well, I've done it a few times. I haven't gotten to that 300 yet, so I'd like to be able to tell you what I know. How it feels to get there, but it's pretty exhilarating to get up to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, is the 10th frame. How does that feel when you know everybody's looking?
It's pretty exciting, if you
can. Especially the guy in front of you.
Right. Yeah,
and he's your competitor, right. Although you're on the same team.
Right. But, no, it was an awesome night. It was a good night to watch him do that, and very proud. We had a really good team this year, and I think we set some records. I believe our scratch team score was 1,001 scratch, so
wow.
I believe that's a record for the house. I'm not sure on that, but I know it'd be pretty tough to beat. So,
well, what was exciting again that particular evening was that Gary, I think his name is
Gary Greenland, also
Gary Greenland threw a 300 evidently in the first game,
correct?
And of course, everybody's wow, that's really exciting. And then you guys come up and do that. What a night.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, lanes were on fire.
That's great. And being the boss, you can take off a little early and get to bowling.
That helps.
Okay. Yep. Well, this show is all about you, and you got to make sure I got all the names right here. It's Ikaza.
Yep.
Hey, I said it. Well, Mr. Ikaza, have you ever been to the quarterback club here in Northfield?
I have.
And what do you usually order when you go there?
The Super Burger.
Yeah, they have those five different kinds.
Yep.
And that and fries and a soft drink is like $8.
Yeah.
Heck of a deal.
It is. It is.
And that's a locally owned, locally operated business.
Yep.
They've been here for over 50 years now. And Dale Finger and the crew invite you to come on in, ladies and gentlemen. Always enjoy a breakfast there. They serve breakfast until 10 o'clock every morning, Monday through Saturday. Don't forget to try their baby back barbecued ribs with mountains of ooziness all over them in the form of their special barbecue sauce. It is so, so good. They just fall off the bones. And you can get it in one-third, one-half, and full racks at the Quarterback Club right here in Northfield, Minnesota. My guest this morning is Nate Ikaza. And, Nate, where were you born?
I grew up in Richfield until I was about 9 years old. And then the parents decided enough is enough with the cities, and we moved out to Northfield.
I thought you were going to say enough was enough with each other.
But No.
Okay. So what did you do? Now, if you moved down about 9 years old, what do you remember of Richfield?
Well, I don't remember a whole lot of it, you know, running around on bicycles and whatnot. It was kind of cool having a neighborhood crew of kids to hang out with. Yeah. and run amok with, per se.
Do you remember what kind of bike you had back then?
Oh, we had a variety, and we were always taking turns riding each other's. You know, yours was never cool enough. You always had to ride your buddies.
So. Yeah. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I've got an older brother.
What's his name?
JT, Justin Cormican.
JT, okay.
Yep. And then I've got a younger sister, Nicole.
Do you call her Nikki?
Nope.
Nicole, okay.
Yep.
And you're in the middle?
I'm right in the middle.
Okay. So that is a nice little family of five.
Yep.
And what did your dad do?
My dad is actually the foreman for the research and development lab for Toro Company up in Bloomington.
Okay.
So he pretty much takes blueprints and turns them into something.
I bet you your dad would be able to... Has he been there a long time? Or
yeah, 30-some years.
Well,
so.
If you could, can you remember names?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Dad, do you remember a guy named Ken Larson?
Okay.
Let's see what his response should be. Yeah, he was the president of Toro.
Sure.
And Ken and I go fishing together occasionally.
Okay.
And he moved over to Polaris.
Sure.
And introduced the Victory.
Okay.
Now he's retired and has a thoroughbred racehorse.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
I wish I had the money to buy a horse and try to feed it.
Yeah.
No, thank.
Well, that sounds like a successful career anyways.
Yeah, amen. Nate's Garage is the owner of Nate's Garage is my guest here this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And so your dad had a long career with Toro.
Still does, yep.
Is he still working there?
Still there, yep.
Yeah. You know, I forget, I know you're young, and I forget you're really young, comparatively speaking. I asked him what year he got out of high school, 2004.
Yep.
And I think I used the bumper music, and I thought, I can't use that kind of music, because 2004.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, the music is, I don't know if they're going to swear or not. So
right.
I'm sorry, usually that's a lot of fun, like, name this tune.
Sure.
Maybe I could get a disc and just start it, and you can say, turn it down, because I don't have radio edit
Of
the songs. I just have what you can buy. So you mentioned that your dad was from Nicaragua.
Yep.
And your dad or your grandpa?
My dad.
Wow.
So my grandpa, yep, he's rooted, very rooted. And my dad came here when he was 18, 1979, political refugee to the Contra Wars. So.
Because, did he ever talk about it?
Very little.
Okay.
Yep.
The Contra Wars,
yep.
Those are during the Reagan administration.
Correct.
And a lot of nefarious individuals that were involved in that.
Yep.
And he never told you any stories about...
Oh, I just know of a few. I know there was a car bomb set off in front of my grandpa's house. That was kind of the last straw I know of. So my father and I believe his two brothers and sister were sent here.
Your uncles and aunt.
Correct.
Okay. Did they all come to Minnesota?
Nope. My dad actually came. He was introduced to the United States right to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Yeah.
You wonder why?
He had an aunt there.
Okay.
And he stayed with her and worked out well. You know, started out in the restaurant industry. And
he started in the restaurant industry.
He started there, yeah, washing dishes.
And it ended up being an engineer of sorts?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, with the conversation that Americans are having right now in reference to getting citizenship here in the great America, what was your dad's experience?
It took him a long time. It took him, I believe, about 10 years, 15 years to finally gained citizenship, which he did legally through the process, as it should be done. And, yeah, I mean, it's achievable, you know.
So
don't anybody tell you it's not.
Were you around when he got his citizenship?
I was really young.
Okay.
Yep.
So you don't remember the swearing in and the ceremony and all that?
No.
Okay. What do you know about your grandparents on your father's side?
Not a lot. My grandma died when my dad was young, so I was pretty much raised through the hired help, per se. My grandfather was a rancher, owned a lot of land down there, so I guess you could say he was pretty well off. My grandma died of cancer when she was pretty young. I know my dad was pretty young when that happened, so.
Did your grandpa get to keep his land?
A lot of it, but it was a battle, obviously, with the status of the government down there. I mean, you own something, you had to have armed guards posted on it. Otherwise, they just come and take it from you. So.
And he's able to keep some, or most.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Have you ever visited?
I have. I've been there twice in my life. Once when I was probably six-ish. And then I went down there when I was 20.
Oh, so you got a vivid memory of 20.
Yep.
Well, tell me about that trip after I take a break, all right?
Yeah, I will.
21 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, we are a friend you definitely can count on.
A home is probably the biggest purchase you'll ever make, and you want to make sure everything goes smoothly. Call me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell. I not only offer homeowners insurance to protect your investment, but I can help with home loans too. No wonder more homeowners trust State Farm than any other insurance company. For information, call me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545. Providing insurance and financial services, loans are offered through State Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATH-TUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
We're back live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota on a bright, beautiful, sunny day. And it's May Day, May 1st, and the year is 2018. And my guest this morning is Nate Icaza. And Nate Icaza has a heritage from Nicaragua. And when we took the break, we were to come back and talk about his visit to Nicaragua once when he was six. And once when he was 20. Did you notice how I like to pronounce Nicaragua?
You got it down.
It just sounds cool. I hope it's right. But so 20 years old, yep. Out of high school, and you didn't know your grandfather from 6 years old. You
right.
Barely remember him. The war, the Contra situation is over with,
yep.
And you feel safe going into Nicaragua.
Yep.
And so do you go alone?
Nope, me and my dad went.
Okay.
Yep.
That had to be a real experience for your dad.
It was. It was really cool.
So how did you get there?
We flew.
Okay, and how long did that take?
Well, you got to go down to Miami, and then out of Miami, I think it's about a four-hour flight, so not too terrible.
What was the customs like when you came in?
It was a very, very run-down old airport. I can remember it was a rough landing. So, and you get out, got to get out, exit onto the tarmac, you know, and then walk into the building. Not a lot of security, not a lot of...
Is that one of those airlines that their planes have hair under their wings?
Pretty much, yeah.
Did they worry about you bringing in drugs into Nicaragua? What airport were you at?
We were right out of Managua. So
Managua?
Yep, which is the capital there. I don't remember, you know, any serious pat-downs or anything.
Going
per se,
in.
You know? Yeah, going in. Wasn't bad at all.
How about coming out?
Same thing. It wasn't too bad. So,
one of my favorite movies of all time. I think it took place in Nicaragua. I'm not sure. Memory is gone, but Midnight Express, and it was about a guy trying to bring drugs out of the country.
Sure.
And it was a tense movie. But anyhow, so you get out of the plane, and now you're looking for a cab, I assume.
Actually, we had my aunt and uncle picking us up, so looking for them, which was kind of cool, because it's, you've seen pictures of them growing up, you know, it's been, you know, 15 years since you've seen them last, you're a little kid, and then... It was neat. It was neat to reconnect.
Was it a really nice reunion for your dad?
Yeah. Yep.
Kind of.
We were going down to my cousin's wedding, so his nephew. So, yeah, it was a nice experience.
So, where'd you stay?
Stayed with my aunt and uncle. And we actually kind of bounced around a little bit. We stayed with a few different family members. Ended up out on a beach for a week. You know, they've got some beach homes out there, too. So, yeah, kind of bounced around. We were there for 3 weeks. So.
Did you have servants?
Yeah, I guess you can call them servants.
Yeah, well, tell me about that.
Well, again, kind of going back to if you own something and you're not there to occupy it all the time, it's pretty much free game. So a lot of the homes have either a maid or a right-hand man. We're out there. It was Gloria. She was at the aunt's house, and then she's kind of in control of getting everything going. You know, she's got breakfast fired up, and you know, waking up the kids, get them off school, and you know, just make sure everything's set up for the day. And then we had Danilo out on the beach home there, and both of them, you know, they've got their own quarters. They live pretty much. They got a little house in the backyard. So they do stay on site all the time, which said again, if you don't if you don't have that, people will just come in and occupy, and so you're gonna have a hell
of
time.
You mean squatters?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you get out to Grandpa's ranch?
We did. We seen a little bit of the land out there.
Through a horseback riding?
We did. When I was younger, we did, and we've got some pictures of that. Which is kind of cool. I remember that, you know. And the parrots, you know, my sister was really young when we went out there the first time. She had come with too, so.
Tell me about the parrots.
Wild parrots? Yeah,
or?
Pretty much. Most of the houses out there, you know, they've got some sort of an open grove in them. So you've got banana trees and coconut trees and orange trees, you know. Pretty much anything that you can use to sustain your household. So it's pretty neat. It's really a cool setup. I mean, one thing I'll never forget is we're walking through this hallway in a corridor in my grandpa's place, and all of a sudden he had to stop because there's this army of ants just going through the buildings, and all of a sudden there's millions of ants on their way through, and just let them do their thing, and they just keep on going where they're going.
Aren't they red ants? Or
yeah,
army
these
ants?
were big
those
army ants.
Those could kill you.
Yeah. That's why you just give them their space and let them do what they're going to do. But it was kind of cool. It was shocking, you know. Definitely something different, you know. Here we'd be swatting them and spraying them, doing whatever. And there they just Give him a minute. He'll be gone in a minute, you know.
Did it look really cool, though, because they were so organized?
It was amazing. They come up, they perch off to the side, you know. They've got basically some some crews to go on the side, and then the ones move in the middle. It's almost like a flock. Pretty neat to watch.
Yeah.
Don't want to get too close, but pretty neat to watch.
Yeah, I would find that really interesting to watch.
Yep.
And it's over with in just a minute.
Yeah.
Or
yep. So yep. Very short.
Did you want to go and find out where they were going?
No, not really.
I want to know where they were going, what they were looking for.
No.
Wow.
And then you got, you know, iguanas and lizards all over the place and whatnot. So it's pretty cool.
Did you feed the iguanas?
I did not. No.
Okay. They like petals, I think.
Yep. They eat a lot of stuff. I had some when we were growing up.
Did your grandpa have a swimming pool?
He did not, no.
Did he have a neat house?
It was a cool house, yeah.
Tell me about this cool house.
Pretty much exactly like I said. Very old, a lot of marble. Basically, you walk in and there's part of it's roofed. A lot of it's wide open, so you've just got this vegetation growing inside your house, basically. And then you'd walk through the back, and there's a big grove, you know, a banana grove. And it was pretty neat, pretty neat.
How many helpers did he have there?
He had a few of them. And then as his health diminished, obviously a few more came on. But
did they ask what you wanted for breakfast?
No. It was pretty much a set menu. You got eggs, red beans, and rice for the most part. Some ham. That was very traditional in the morning. You know, a lot of fish and whatnot for lunch and dinner. Some of the stuff I remember, you didn't really want to ask what it was, but it was good.
Yeah.
You know, you just ate it. And
our guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is a fellow by the name of Nate Ikaza. He has a business called Nate's Garage out in the Randolph area. And we're learning that his grandfather lived in Nicaragua. His father came to this country at age 18, now at 20 years old. And, of course, your dad is there. And then you have the aunts and uncles. Were there cousins that were there that was around your age?
A lot of them,
around your age?
Yep.
Okay, here comes the fun part.
Yep.
So what did the cousins say when they wanted to take you out and show you the nightlife or the day life in Nicaragua for teenagers and young people in their 20s?
Well, it was the nightlife for sure. Those guys don't start partying until about 2 in the morning.
Really? So, what are they doing until 2?
Sitting around, socializing.
Fillischweizen?
Socializing.
Socializing.
Yep.
Having a beer, maybe?
It's very, very important that the family eats together every night. They do pretty much every night, get together, eat dinner, sit around, go over the day. You know, very very bonded people, and put it that way. You know, I don't think I've ever felt so welcome in a place that I just walked into in my life. It was really neat. I've got cousins that are pretty much exactly my age. It was cool catching up with them.
Well, tell me about the nightlife.
Well, the nightlife is hot there. It's booming. We went to a couple nightclubs. One place in particular I'll remember was called Hipa Hipa.
Hipa Hipa,
and it's one of the well-known nightclubs in Central America, and it was wild, to say the least.
Do you know what it meant, Hipa Hipa?
I don't.
Oh, okay. So they're open till when?
Pretty much until you leave. I remember leaving at like 9, 10 in the morning. They're bringing in breakfast burritos, you know, trying to get people halfway sobered up to get them to go home and whatnot. But it was definitely something that I've never seen, you know, in my life. So
go out at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Well, I'll see you later. We're going clubbing.
Yeah, so you're already all tuned up. And then to get started after that, it was It's pretty interesting. You had to bring your A game to hang out with these guys.
What was it social like it is in clubs in America?
Very.
Or equal mix generally of men
yep.
and women?
Yep, very. A lot of women, beautiful women.
It's, yeah.
You know, gorgeous.
I imagine.
Yep. Very Americanized. Most of the guys speak
spoke English.
English. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The schools are very Americanized. You know, I was able to walk in. I don't speak any Spanish. I was able to walk into a gas station at the time I smoked so I could get a pack of cigarettes, and we were able to communicate that out, no problem. You know, so it was nice. I wasn't afraid to wander off on my own.
What do they do in regards to driving?
same thing. You know, I believe it's 16, age 16, you get your driver's license. Same deal, got to have a license, got to have you know, current registration. I'm not sure what the insurance situation is, but it wasn't as chaotic as I thought it was going to be. You know, they get controlled intersections for the most part.
But drive on the right side?
Yep.
Steering
yep.
wheel on the left?
Yep, same.
Ford's the most popular?
No, actually there's a lot of Toyotas and stuff from what I remember. I'm not sure why that is, but I didn't remember seeing a lot of Chevy Cavaliers or Impalas, per se. You know, it was a lot of Camrys.
What did your grandpa drive?
Well, he didn't drive. My aunt and uncle, they had a 4Runner, you know, a Toyota 4Runner. So it was nothing fancy, but...
Did you get a chance to go out in the jungle?
We went up. My Uncle Jerry builds huge homes, beautiful, luxurious mountain homes. So we got to go out on some of his job sites and see some of these places, which were unbelievably gorgeous. I mean, what you would think to be a, $15 million house here is about $1 million house there. I believe the currency exchange...
You said 15 million.
15, yeah. I believe the currency exchange is about 1 to 17 here.
Oh.
So, yeah, you get a lot of bang for your buck down there.
I was going to ask you that next. When you were out and about, did you feel like a rich American with $100 in your pocket?
Yeah, you really do. Honestly, you know, sad to say that, but it's you get noticed as well.
Well, you know, now that you mentioned it to me, I could see where you could fit in, especially
yeah.
with the beard and
yep.
dark eyes and your yep. skin's a lower tone.
Yep.
Not lower, but darker tone.
Yep.
But people picked you out right away, huh?
Yeah.
Despite yep. when you open your mouth and start talking.
Pretty much, yeah. Wearing, American shirts and whatnot. You get spotted pretty quick.
What were the big tourist attractions for you in Nicaragua? Where were you staying? What town?
We were in, we were just out of Managua.
Managua.
We visited León. That's a really beautiful, rich, cultured, old, you know, you're talking 15, 1600s century buildings there, gorgeous. The cathedral was breathtaking, you know, it was amazing. Walking in there, there was a certain energy in it that you could feel for sure.
When you were growing up as a young boy, did your playmates know that you were half Nicaraguan?
Yeah, they always knew when my dad came out yelling in Spanish. That was it was serious. You need to go in now.
So, you know, yeah. Did that play a part in who you hung around with and what you did?
Not so much.
So there was
not
no
so
prejudice
much.
At all?
No, I didn't get a lot of... You know, we got some teasing in middle school and whatnot. Whatever. It is what it is, you know.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I can tell you graduated in 2004. It is 9:37 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, 95.1 FM, The One, and, of course, 1080 AM, 50 years old in September. And my guest this morning is a fellow by the name of Nate Icaza, and we're chit-chatting about his experience in Nicaragua, the home country of his father. And we're getting into it. When did you move to Northfield? In what grade?
1995, so I would have been fourth grade.
Okay. And did you, can you tell me how your parents chose Northfield?
I had an uncle that moved out here actually the year prior and bought a farm actually out on 81, the Red Road. And
the Red Road.
The Red Road, I guess. I don't know. It's got a red tint on it, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the one that instead of turning right on County Road 1,
correct,
you turn left, and
yep,
it's 81.
Yep.
And then you go by the barn that makes pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually up, his farm was to the west of the pizza barn, it's called.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
But Pat Winter.
Yep, Pat Winter's place there, yep.
And Knee Bowls.
Yep.
And so you got a connection to him.
Yep.
All right. So your aunt and uncle moved here on a small hobby farm?
Correct, yep.
And when your mom and dad come down to visit with the kids, which includes your brother JT and your sister Nicole, they say, I think you're right. I kind of like this place.
They did.
Did you want to get on a hobby farm like your aunt and uncle?
It would have been cool. Would have been cool, but we ended up over right by the Big Steer on a lake instead, right across from
Union
Lake. Yep. So I grew up right across from the public access there and park. So it was actually a little piece of heaven for me growing up.
Yeah, for sure. There a lot of kids on the lake?
Yeah, we had enough. You know, obviously it was a long bus route, so you got to know each other pretty well.
Yeah.
Still in contact with most of them, it's
and you went to Sibley?
Yep.
And then from Sibley
over to the middle school, which I believe Carlton owns that building now.
Yeah, oh, you're from that era.
That okay. era, yep. Yeah.
Who do you remember from the middle school?
Oh,
teachers and buddies.
I remember Mr. Morris.
Ron Morris,
yep. He
Great
was
guy.
One that always stuck out in my head. Made an impact.
Did you know that he was very involved with the Northfield Historical Society?
I believe so, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so Ron Morris, who else?
Yep.
Mr. Morris,
we had Mr. Coudray, Ray Coudray. We had, obviously Matheson. I believe he was the Phi Ed teacher at the time. Some lunch ladies. So, yeah.
That were nice to you?
Yeah.
Gave you a little extra scoop?
Yeah, yeah.
Though it just breaks my heart when I see kids dump their lunch into the...
Right.
Wow, why don't you just say I don't want any?
Right.
All right, if it was me, I'd be right there and say, ew, don't throw it away. Wait, put it on my tray.
Yeah.
Because, you get hungry at that age. So now you're at the middle school, mm-hmm, and you're getting prepped now to go to the Northfield High School.
Correct.
You feel all settled in, but being out on Union Lake, you can go down to Faribault, you can go up to Burnsville, and you can come to Northfield. What did your folks do? Where did they go shopping?
Well, we went to Northfield mostly. I know we did the Sunday school over in Lonsdale there. So I did the church and Sunday school in Lonsdale. I'm not exactly sure what attracted them to that. But
what church was that?
I don't even remember the name of it,
Catholic?
To be honest with you. Yeah, Catholic church right next to Casey's there.
Yeah.
But that was kind of short-lived.
Yeah, you don't remember the name of the church you were going to.
No, well, we'll put it this way. I wasn't too much of a fan of it. I had other things to do. I'd rather be out on the lake, running around, doing something else. So it was part of my life that I just, at that point, was not thrilled about.
And so, but speaking of the lake, what summer activities, winter activities took place on the lake?
Well, a lot of camping. We camped out on the island. We frequented that quite a bit, and a lot of good memories out there, a lot of fishing, a lot of swimming.
Do you know who used to own that island?
I don't.
Would you like to know?
I would.
Okay, I'll tell you a story. There was a, where the building on the northwest corner of County Road 1 and Highway 3?
I do.
Okay. It'd be, we used to say, Kitty Corner from the Dundas Bank or Franston Bank. You know that building?
Yep.
That used to be, many years ago, That was a Tasty Freeze or something similar to that.
Okay.
Okay. Then they made it into a dinner club. Not a dinner, but a place to eat. And they had what we called smorgasbords.
Okay.
Do you know what those are?
Well, I believe so.
What are they called nowadays when you go up and down and get your food?
It's a buffet, I believe.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. Well, they had smorgasbords.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the most delicious chicken and gravy and mashed potatoes. And Herb and Irene Yonker is their name. Herb and Irene Yonker. And they would be, they both have passed away since, but if they heard you talking about not knowing the name of your church, they would probably say, oh my gosh, young man, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get an idea who they were. Anyhow, I really liked them. And they were the first ones to buy radio advertising on KYMN before we were even on the air.
Really?
Before we had a tower, before we had a building. And they bought some advertising saying, welcome KYMN Radio from Yonkers, blah, blah, blah. And anyhow, they're very, very proud of that. They were, we called them, well, we had several advertisers that signed up, and I can't recall what they were called, but they got special things. As a matter of fact, we had, we went on the air September of 68, and we had a banquet for, or a dinner, let's say, for those individuals that had signed up with us before we went on the air.
Sure.
And we got Tom Mee from the Minnesota Twins to come down and bring a player with him. And so there we were having our dinner. Then the speeches started, and then they introduced you, baseball fan?
A little bit.
Yeah. Rod Carew.
Okay.
Probably one of the first banquets he ever went to.
Sure.
And, nope, you know, we just thought, oh, well, why didn't you bring Harmon Killebrew?
Sure.
You know, and, okay. But then, of course, Rod Carew went off to have a fantastic career. Here we are talking about Rod Carew. Is baseball popular in Nicaragua?
Very, very popular. That was a, we actually went to a game while we were there, which is cool. They have a mascot down there, a guy, I can't remember his name, but there's actually somewhat of a national anthem about this guy. And he basically gets the crowd fired up at each other and gets everyone going and kind of runs around and runs his mouth and gets tempers flaring and gets the crowd into the game. And as the crowd gets energetic, then the players get energetic. And, it was an extremely exciting game to watch. Really cool old stadium.
Was he for one specific team?
Yeah, it was obviously the home team. I believe it was, I don't remember their name. You know, obviously this is years ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was kind of cool. Basically, they get him blitzed, you know, just hammered drunk. And he runs around. He goes one side, gets him all fired up. And then he runs over to the other side, and he gets him all fired up. And, by the end of the night, he's...
What does he wear?
Just regular street clothes.
Okay.
You know, I think that's kind of what he's been doing for a long time. They let him into the stadium. They, you know, here's your booze for the night, and do your thing.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's
but
extremely
some,
fun. Yeah.
Some people say that poor guy is being made a fool of.
Yeah, I would say some people probably would say that, but obviously he keeps going back every game, so... Each their own.
Did you see any players that came up to the majors here?
I didn't, but I know there's a lot of scouting that goes on down there. I guess if I paid a little more attention, I could probably track something down.
Did you ever have any fear in Nicaragua?
Not really. I know we had there was a bus that either didn't get put in park or something to that effect that went through a little town square and wiped out a few little vendor carts, you know, when we were there, that was...
On purpose?
Well, we don't know if it was on purpose or, you know...
Did they keep going?
It stopped eventually.
Oh, okay.
Hit a building. I don't think anyone was hurt, but it was just... You're walking along, yeah. And all of a sudden you hear people screaming, and there's this bus crashing through carts and whatnot.
So, did you go up into the mountains?
We did. Yep, we did. And like I said, seen some of these houses that were... being developed, and just unbelievable. Everything's done by hand. You know, I remember
a lot of marble.
Yeah, a lot of marble, a lot of woodwork. Beautiful wood. The wood there is just unbelievably gorgeous. Really dark, rich, grainy wood. You know, super hard. Everything's done by hand. Excuse me. I remember them doing some site work, doing some foundation work, getting ready to put one up. And there's, you know, 60 guys out there with pickaxe and shovels, you know, leveling this. This is mountain terrain. You know, it's very hard, rocky, nasty stuff. And I remember asking my uncle, I said, why don't you buy some machinery? You know, what do you... It's going to take you a month to get this done. He goes, yeah, I could do that. But if I bought a piece of machinery, I'd put 60 guys out of work. Oh. It's something that always stuck with me. You know, I'll never forget him telling me that. You know, and it really backs up the heart of the people down there. They really care about each other and making sure that as a whole, they excel.
If you just tuned in, my guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is Nate Ikaza. And what about television down there in Nicaragua where you were visiting your grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins?
Plenty of television. That's kind of funny because you're either... the middle class is pretty much non-existent. You either live in a shack or you live in a pretty decent house, you know. But so you got all these shacks, and at the time, cell phones had just been the up-and-coming thing.
Like, this is about 2006.
Correct, yep. Okay. And everybody had a cell phone, and on top of all these shacks was a satellite, you know, so they all had access to, the rest of the world, per se. I don't know that the internet was huge yet down there, but I don't know.
When you say shacks, why would you be in that area when you have a wealthy grandfather and aunts and uncles?
It's all mixed in. I mean, it's all mixed in. There's not necessarily a rich community versus a poor community. I mean, you can be going, we'll use Messiah, the town of Messiah, as an example. Edge of the road, some of the most beautiful scenery you'll ever see. Some gorgeous lakes, huge canyons, whatnot. All these shacks are there. Well, they set up, and that's their stake, you know. Whereas some of the bigger houses are kind of drawn off, you know, off-site, out of the traffic, per se. You know, the more populated areas. But, yeah, the real dense populated areas are pretty much sheds for the most part, you know, just stacked on each other.
Is there an odor?
No, it wasn't too bad, really. Quite a few homeless, you know, you'll see some guys sleeping on the sidewalks here and there, stray dogs, stuff like that, but not really out of the norm, per se.
Whoever was in power, did they have big pictures of them everywhere?
Yeah, I don't remember who it was at the time. Okay. I'm not sure at the time, but I know they've got a lot of stuff going on there right now. You know, they're trying to overturn right now. I just seen something in the headlines last week about it, and a lot of marches going on and whatnot. So, trying to get out of that communist socialist atmosphere, you know, and it's kind of sad to see what's going on here right now. Kids coming out of high school and stuff right now think it's really a cool environment and the way to go, and it's everything but that. You know, it's really not. It's sad. It's a dangerous political party to run.
Yeah, our situation where the middle class is disappearing.
Yep.
And a lot of Californians, middle class people, are moving out.
Yep.
And so they'll have the very rich and the very poor.
Yep.
Similar to Nicaragua.
Yep. That's what a problem. You get on a communist socialist backbone. You know, that's the result. And people don't understand that.
We're going to take a break and be right back with our guest on KYMN Radio.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
The old tradition is alive again in downtown Montgomery, Saturday, May 5th. It's the Rising of the Maypole. This long-honored tradition will start at noon and include the music of the Czech Concertina Club, authentic Czech and Slovak beer, and Czech cuisine. This one-day event will also feature gunny sack races, tug-of-war, wagon rides, and so much more. Make sure you are in Montgomery, Saturday, May 5th, for the Czech May Day event from noon until 6 p.m. We'll see you there.
All right. Sounds like a lot of fun doing the Maypole. As a matter of fact, when I first came to Northfield, it was a new neighborhood over on the northwest side, and somebody had a maypole, and I went and watched the kids carry the ribbons and make that maypole. I thought that was so cute. 7 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio, Nate Ikazra, I threw an extra R in there, Ikaza, is my guest this morning, and we're going to get you into high school now. You get out of the Northfield old school, which is now the Witt Center, and Carlton owns that, did a wonderful job with it. And you drive by and you look, at the building and say, wow, wish it was that nice when we were there.
Right.
And you held your gym classes outdoors.
Yep.
In the city Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to go to the Northfield High School. But I was asking you, what do you do on Union Lake? And I told you about the island and who owned that.
Yep.
They actually had cattle on that island.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, in the winter, bring
sure.
them in, drop
yep.
them on. I don't know. I don't know what they did, but they had them on there.
Huh.
And anyhow, you said that you did all kinds of things all year round on Union Lake. And did you have buddies in junior high that said, hey, man, you got this natural swimming pool. Can we come over and swim with you?
A lot. Yep. Yeah. We spent a lot of summers out there. You know, even our backyard, we had a little set of woods, a pond and whatnot. And I remember probably between 8th and 9th grade, I think we spent the majority of it out in a tent, you know, in the backyard. So it was cool. It was nice. It was a good way to be brought up, you know, a lot of freedom.
Who were some of your neighbors?
Well, Plush Courts, Montani's, DeGrego's. You know, Anderson's, you know, Pegalo's, we had quite a few of the Berries. I mean, it's a pretty big neighborhood. You know, Keapaha over there on the west side is
yeah.
pretty populated. So there's plenty of people to.
And you lived near the public access?
Correct, yep.
So was that kind of like a pain in the butt?
No, actually it was nice because nobody ever used to go on it because it was such a terrible access. You know, it was no concrete, you know, it was gravel, it was steep, it was narrow. I remember pulling a lot of people out. You know,
no,
stuck there.
They have an association, I would assume.
They do, yep.
And do you think that the association said, we don't want anything done to that public access, just leave it the way it is?
They probably did for many years, I would imagine that was probably the case. It was, you know, basically a private lake when we were growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, there was never anybody out there, which was nice.
You said fishing.
Yep.
Now, were they all panfish?
No, a lot of northern, huge northern in there. No, they stocked it, you know, the last couple winters here where my whole life growing up out there, I never seen anybody ice fish it, and there's 100-plus houses out there this year, so, I mean, it's, no, apparently there's a bunch of panfish and walleye. And
walleye?
I guess, yeah, it seems shallow.
But what you were catching were panfish and northerns.
Yeah, mostly northern.
Yeah, yep. Some people call them snakes.
Yeah.
I call it hunting, and walleye are for the hunters.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't mind trolling for northern and casting for bass. And I just, the walleye people, it's like, nope, darn, done here. Boom, we're gone. Let's go. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch down there. Okay. Nothing. Okay, well, let's go over here. And they're looking at their sonar and they're figuring things out. And walleye, of course, are delicious.
Yep.
But all the messing around you have to do to catch them.
Right.
And I've won the Governor's Opener two times.
Really?
Yeah, on walleye. So
nice.
I was lucky.
Congrats.
Yeah. One, I was just, my bait was just sitting right around the bottom. We were just sitting in the boat, kind of talking about, do we want to go in? And and I, let's bring it in, you know, bring your reel in, everybody. Well, there were all three of us there. And I start reeling. Huh? Well, give it a tug. Well, for gosh, they don't fight very much. I don't think.
Sure.
You know, so anyhow, it was a good-sized walleye. I can't even remember the poundage. So you said that when they stocked it with the panfish and the northerns, that the ice houses, you know, 20, 40 of them?
Oh, there was a lot of them, yeah. I've never seen it so populated. So
isn't it amazing?
Amazing, yeah. I was surprised. I was really surprised.
So did you say you went camping out on the island?
We did, yep.
Were there other people out there, too?
Yeah, yep.
And your house is right across the lake.
Yep.
And but it was cool to be over there.
Yeah.
And invite your buddies.
Yep.
And when, how old were you at that time?
Oh, I suppose 13, 14. You know, right in there, kind of that time before you start working. I know I'd started working when I was 14, so. Yeah, right around there.
Where did you start working?
First job was the Ranchero Supper Club over in Webster, working for Annie and Rudy Etlin.
And as a busboy or and dishwasher?
Busboy, dishwasher, yep.
Did the waitress, did the serving people share tips?
They did.
They did?
They did, yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty nice.
It was. Yeah. It was. It was pretty cool.
Your paycheck was little, but your
paycheck
tips
was little. I think we made about $4.10 an hour, something like that, starting. So,
well, that's pretty cool. And then then you had cash right away every night.
Yep.
And what were you saving up for?
Well, not really anything in particular, you know. But I'd go buy new fishing rods and, you know, toys. ATVs, three-wheelers, dirt bikes, you know, going, just getting into town, having some money to do stuff, you know, that was the main thing. Gas, had to have gas for the boat.
Yeah, so. Oh yeah. We're going to take a break for the news, and then we'll be back right after the news. My guest this morning is Nate Ikaza, and he owns a business called Nate's Garage. They specialize, I don't know if I should use that word, in diesel work, and in addition to that, anything that needs that runs, they can fix. We'll be back right after the news on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota.
Questions leaked. Red tape at the border. I'm John Trout. President Trump says it's disgraceful. A list of questions special counsel in the Russia investigation wants to ask him are now public.
Most of the questions obtained by the New York Times have to do with obstruction of justice, including why the president fired FBI Director James Comey. Mueller's team also seems interested in how much the president knew about the June 2016 meeting at Trump Tower arranged by Don Jr. with Russians purporting to bring dirt on Hillary Clinton. Bob Costantini, Washington.
Members of that Central American caravan seeking entry into the U.S. face a daunting task.
They will have to go through a series of interviews, establish credible fear, and then navigate a very complicated court system as they try to legally seek asylum.
Leila Santiago reporting from the U.S.-Mexican border. Australia's highest-ranking Catholic pleads not guilty to sexual abuse in a hearing. Cardinal George Pell now faces a trial in a Sydney court. In the U.S., retribution against those who file complaints over sexual assault or harassment has risen in the military.
An annual Pentagon report notes a growing number of cases of sexual misconduct in fiscal 2017, but also that there were 146 reports of retaliation last year. The bulk of the retaliation cases involved women who had filed complaints of sexual assault. Of the 85 people charged with retaliation in cases that were closed last year, only 31 were substantiated. The department took action against just 9 of them. Scott Carr, Washington.
The European Union says the decision by the Trump administration to grant a one-month tariff extension on EU imports of steel and aluminum is bad for business, and that the bloc should be granted a permanent exemption. From New York, the musicals Mean Girls and SpongeBob SquarePants garner 12 Tony nominations each, leading the pack for the Broadway Awards. On Wall Street, the Dow is off 140 points. I'm John Trout.
Been there, done that. Hello, everybody. It's 3 minutes after 10 o'clock right here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial. And now 95.1 FM, The One. In studio with me is a gentleman by the name of Nate Ikaza. And Nate Ikaza owns a business called Nate's Garage in the Randolph area. And during that break, you mentioned that you own another business. Yep. And what would that be? And I want you to be reliable when you tell me the story. And the name of the new business
is? We just opened a used car dealership over in Cannon Falls on the north side called Reliable Auto. So I figured we'd take advantage of owning a repair shop and get into some of the flipping. You know, did some of this on the side. There's a lot of people that don't want to. You know, I need a motor, a transmission, something like that, and I just want to bail on the car. So I've done pretty well on buying those, fixing them, and selling them. So I figured, well, we might as well do this the right way.
So where exactly is it in Cannon Falls?
We're right on North Highway 20. So as you're heading out of Cannon Falls, on the north end there, we are right across from Cannon Auto Repair and what was Soul Fisher. Collision. So it was I believe it was a Conoco, but it's been sitting vacant for about 11 years now. So
where's that compared to the drive-in restaurant?
Actually, Dairy Inn, we are just north of about a block.
Okay.
From that, yep.
North of 20?
It's called North Highway 20.
Okay.
Yep. So right before it splits, you either go out to 52 or to Hastings.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And when did you open that?
March 3rd.
Well, that's so a baby.
It is. It is a baby. It's brand new.
What is it like getting a license to sell automobiles?
It's pretty involved. There's a lot of hoops. You got to have an area. You've got to have a certain amount of signage. Obviously, license, insurance, and bonded, you know. And then you got to have some knowledge, some basic knowledge on it, which I was fortunate enough to jump into this with a really good partner, a couple partners actually, and got some good background on it, you know, some good experience. Heidi Groves is who I'm with, and Wynn Doe, I believe you know Wynn with Pro Nails over in Northfield here.
Doesn't he have a mattress place down in Mankato?
Nope, just does nails. He had a second salon up in Farmington. I believe they just got rid of that. But yeah, so got in with them. She's got about 30 years experience with the dealership world, so it's a very professionally built atmosphere.
What about the mill that's down there? Is that going to get dust on your cars?
Yeah, it's kind of a dusty area, but it's not kind of comes with the territory, you know, what do you do?
How about signage? What kind of a walkthrough did you have with that?
We actually end up got fined from the city of Cannon Falls for my signage, but not a big deal. Apparently, I needed to pull a permit, but I didn't know that.
You got fined because you didn't go through the design advisory board?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, which was unfortunate, but.
Every town has their.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So we got through that hiccup, and we're good now.
Did you have to change anything?
No.
So the fine basically is just going past them.
That's it.
Okay.
Which
that happens.
I guess I should have done a little more research, but busy guy.
Many years ago, a guy that was a mechanic down where Forget Me Not Flowers is on. Yeah. That used to be a repair shop.
Okay.
And he went into the gun business, and he opened a place down at, well, the buildings are not there anymore. But anyhow, it said guns, and somebody went to the city council and complained that the sign is promoting the sale of guns. And, of course, he said, that's right. I'm in the business of selling guns.
Right, yeah.
And that person was able to get it to a point on the city council discussion. And when she was all done, he came up and he said, if you don't think I can't have my sign up there saying guns, what about Village Drugstore that has a sign, that huge sign that says drugs?
Right.
I thought that was
end
funny.
Of discussion,
to come back.
Huh?
It was the end of discussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how many have you got on the lot right now?
We keep about 30 on there.
Okay, and what's the best? Well, you only got started, but have you found out what the best-selling cars are, SUVs?
SUVs are really popular. We're trying to keep it budget-wise in between that $3,000 to $7,000 range. Seems to be what people can afford. It's easier to obtain a loan on something like that than, per se, a $25,000 car.
Do you do financial?
We are working on that right now. I've got some avenues that I can point you in for sure to get that taken care of. But we are in the process of getting some special financing in there, some damage credits, credit repair financing. They call it SPY-FI, so special financing. That should be get going. I believe we're going to launch that within the next month here. So that should help some folks out, come in, buy a car. We're going to report to the bureau, so we're going to help you actually establish some credit. Where a lot of these other guys are doing it, but they're not actually reporting to the bureau, so you're paying a lot of interest without a lot of gain out of it afterwards. So I mean, vehicles, typically, your second biggest investment in life. A home typically is your first biggest investment, and then your vehicle to get you around to pay for that home, come second. So it's a pretty important part of your life, I believe. Something that we do that's different than most of the used car people around here is anything that I feel that qualifies, as it comes through the shop that I've got enough backbone into and confidence in, we put a 30-day, 1,000-mile powertrain warranty on it. And some of these cars have 160,000, 180,000 miles on it. So that's something that not a lot of people are going to do, but it just goes to show that, I want to back my product. I want to back what I'm selling, and I have confidence in what we have on the lot. So,
30 days or 1,000 miles?
30 days or 1,000 miles. So if you buy something, the motor, the tranny goes out on it, I'm going to take care of that. Not a penny out of your pocket. I'm going to replace it.
Are you anticipating a lot of work?
Well, you never know. That's kind of the gamut on the used car dealership.
Boy, I'll tell you, I had a Bravada, and I loved it.
Yep.
And it was loaded. And I bought that warranty thing that you can get.
Yep.
Because I like to keep a car until it dies.
Yep.
And something was wrong with it, and mechanics checked it all out, and the drivetrain went out, and my insurance had run out.
Sure.
And the car was worthless.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that car will make somebody a whole lot of money if they take parts from it.
Right.
It'll make a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
But I had to buy a different car.
Yep.
And just because of the train went out on it. And I'm not a mechanic. I don't know anything, but I trust the people I was dealing with. And that's
right.
Going to be your most important is going to be the trust on Alliance.
Reliable. Yep.
Okay. Reliable Auto.
Our name says it all.
Okay. Very good. I like that. Reliable Auto. Our name says it all. Reliable. There are people that are really big in industry that no credit, don't worry.
Yep.
Money down, don't worry.
Yep.
Past credit history, don't worry. And you go in and they put you in an overpriced car because you can't buy anyone anywhere else and they're going to finance it.
Yep.
Then they finance it and the percentage on it is ludicrous.
Yep.
And then they take the car out and they're victims. And so they repo that car.
Yep.
And then they resell it with the same promotion.
Happens a lot.
And then the person falls in debt and rather behind, and they repo, and they'll do that. They'll flip it 3-4 times.
Yep.
The same car.
Yep.
For the same price.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I'll
That's
tell you.
A racket.
Yeah. But you, of course, don't do that because you're reliable.
That's correct.
All right. Yep. So now we go to high school with our guest this morning. Our guest is, I'll remind you, a fellow by the name of Nate, and his last name is I-C-A-R-A.
A-Z-A.
I-C-A-Z-A.
Yep.
Ikaza. There we go. All right. So now we're going to go to high school.
Yep.
Okay. And your first job is at the Ranch House.
Ranchero
Supper Club.
Yep.
And, of course, you're yearning for the driver's license and the new car.
Yep.
So how long did that take?
Not very long.
I actually bought a
car for my brother. It was an 83 Grand Prix. It was my first car. And bought it when I was 15. Didn't have a license yet. And tore it all apart. First thing, used my dad's garage, tore it all apart, had a little V6 in it. That wasn't going to work for me. So we went to town, we put a big Pontiac 400 in it. And
wow.
Yep, that was my first car there.
Do you still have it?
I don't.
Do you wish you did?
Not really. I've had a handful of other cars for the years. So.
But that first one is so important.
I'll never forget it. We'll put it that way. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
Some people don't remember their first car, and I'm going, what?
Right.
I mean, that was the biggest deal in your lifetime,
yeah.
You know, at that point, to, you know, own your own car.
Yeah.
So, were you a sophomore or junior when you could drive to
sophomore.
And yeah. That was a big deal then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was freedom.
was your brother out of high school at that time?
Yes, he was, yep.
Okay, JT, was he into anything like athletics or anything?
He was a runner.
A runner?
Yep.
Okay. Were you?
Yep. No, I actually did gymnastics and bowling. So, yeah, I didn't get into the sports too much. Like I said, kind of.
Gymnastics?
Yeah, yeah.
At what age?
Oh, I was probably 10, 12, somewhere in there. I think it was almost on a dare because my sister had gotten into it, and you know, I'd go there with Mom to pick her up and kind of poke fun at her. So Mom gave me the old, you think you can do a better gamut? And sure, signed me up. So,
how many boys were in it?
Quite a few when I was in it. I'm not sure how they're doing now, but it was a city team. It wasn't done through the school or anything.
Yeah,
so.
But they were pretty good.
Yeah, we did real well. The meets and stuff were pretty cool and fun.
So are you afraid the first time you do flip off of a high bar?
It wasn't too bad. You know, it was fun. It's a self-challenge. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
You know, as much of a team sport as it was a very self-motivated.
Oh, did you wear leotards?
No. One of the first things most people ask, you know. Are you a ballerina or what? No.
What's it like doing the, what do you call them? The two bars next.
Parallel bars.
Parallel bars.
Hard on the inner arms.
Huh?
It's hard on the inner arms.
Yeah?
Yeah, but yeah, it was fun.
Oh, did you buff up then?
I did, yeah. Yeah, for my size.
Did you wear
a
T-shirt too small to go to, when you went to school?
No. No.
You didn't?
No.
Didn't you want to show off your muscles?
No, I was pretty plain Jane. Blue jeans and a white tee. So, kind of the same now. I think I had a pair of black Dickies and a shop shirt for 10 years now, I suppose.
Well, I've never seen you dressed any way but that.
Right.
That's okay. You know, it's your work outfit.
Right.
So, gymnasium, that is pretty interesting. What did you enjoy more, the freestyle or the parallels or the high bar, the horse?
Yeah, rings. Rings are pretty fun. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty challenging. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's amazing to be able to hold them out sideways.
I couldn't quite do that.
You couldn't?
Yeah, we had a guy on there, Ryan Hansmeyer, who I believe coaches for the U of M now. He could do it. You know, so he was kind of our idol. He was a little older than us, you know.
Guys. When you watch that in the Olympics, you see him do that, and they're just like shuddering.
Oh yeah.
Some of them. Some of them don't, and those are the ones that are wow.
Yeah.
But how about a floor deal? Did you have a performance on the floor?
Yep. We did that.
Well, how many somersaults or backflips or whatever you call it?
Well, I wasn't very graceful on the floor, but I gave it a shot. So, definitely, I mean, I remember starting out, you know, we did some backhand spring backflips. You know.
Did you always land on the spot that you were supposed to?
I tried to. It didn't always happen. But.
Well, how many times could you twist in the air? Either that
I was
or
only
this
on
way?
One, yep. I could only do one.
Okay. Did you take that into swimming on a diving board?
Nope, I did not.
Oh.
No, never got into the swimming, other than, you know, obviously in the lake and whatnot. But.
So we're going to, what was your, you had your first job at the Ranchero.
Yep.
Okay, what, now you got a car, and now you can go to any job that's available.
My first automotive job was at Freeway Service Center in Elko. A guy named Dan Zwiers owned it. And at the time, there was a shared building with G&T Trucking.
Yeah, that'd be on the southeast of County Road 2 and 35.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was that was my first automotive job up there. Started out pretty much a gas jockey, tires, and taking care of the gas pumps and filling propane and all that little stuff. Worked my way up a little bit from there, and after that, then I went to...
What did you work yourself up to?
Oh, we got into doing some brake jobs and belts and hoses and just, general maintenance.
Okay.
For the most part, general maintenance, so did that for a couple months, I suppose. Then I got offered a job at Tires Plus in Northfield.
And who owned it?
That was a guy named Scott McPhee owned it, so it was right after Scott Hamlin owned it.
Oh, okay.
Yep, right after his era. So it was a pretty well-established place.
Yep.
Now it's they're selling plants and flowers and whatnot.
On the corner of 6th and Division on the southwest corner.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. Howard. You know Howard down there?
I don't.
Oh, you got to meet him. He's quite the guy.
Sure.
So you were then now doing mechanical work at Tires Plus when it was there?
Yep.
And how deep did you go?
We had our A-Techs. So, we're same deal, brakes, tires, general stuff, maintenance items.
As a kid, you were making pretty good money, though.
I was,
weren't you?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So it was.
And what was your goal with the money besides?
Well, obviously, we wanted to build something nice.
Okay.
So we, it's kind of building projects and, three-wheelers and dirt bikes and, a go-kart. I built a pretty big go-kart in high school. And, I more or less liked going to work more than I did like going to school. So I found myself avoiding school to go to work a little more and more, so I transitioned out, and I actually tested out of high school in 11th grade. the beginning of 11th grade, I took the test and I got a GED. And from there, I worked full time. And then I decided that if I wanted to really pursue this, I need to go to school. So,
do you regret doing that GED?
I don't.
Okay.
I really don't. High school was fun, but it wasn't. I think if I stayed in it, things would have been different. I probably would have gone down a different path.
A bad path?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I was on the start of it, so.
Yeah. Well, and you like working.
Yeah.
And so that kept you busy and responsible.
Correct.
And so are you invited to 2005 class reunions?
I am, yep.
And so you had one.
2004. But, yeah, we had our 10-year a couple years ago.
Did you go to it?
I did.
Oh.
I did. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed mine.
Yep.
And you met people you never seen before.
Yeah, a lot of the people we knew, and it wasn't any more than grabbing some beers with some old friends, is the way I looked at it.
Where'd you hold it?
It was at the VFW.
Oh, here small. In town, so, yeah. Yep. A small get-together.
Yep.
23 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. Our guest this morning is a fellow by the name of Nate Ikaza. And Nate Ikaza owns a business called Nate's Garage near Randolph. And he just opened a business March 3rd called Reliable Auto. And it's a used car lot in Cannon Falls. We'll be back in just a moment.
You buy something because you got it for a low price. And soon, you realize it's no bargain because you really needed something better. It happens all the time, especially with car insurance. But the good news is, you can get the right coverage at the right price. Just talk to me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell. I'll help you get the right coverage at a price that's right for you. Call me at 645-4545 today.
Your State Farm agent, Mark Quinnell, thanks the Northfield Lions for all the work they do in the community.
Willie's Shoe Repair in Northfield is your shoe and boot repair center. Randy also does leather repair, including bags and briefcases. They sell new boots, belts, and shoe care items. Your shoes and boots will appreciate the quality work at Willie's Shoe Repair.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair. By the way, I got to ask you, if I may, Nate, Randy down at Willie's Shoe Service, he walked the... I'm going to forget it, but he walked that big trail in the eastern part of the country down through the mountains, and he had to go back several times, you know, from one state to the next. It's pretty a good accomplishment. I admire people that can do that. The Allegheny Trail? Oh, well. So we are talking to Nate. Nate, when you got out of high school, you left your junior year, and you went to work with Scott down at Tires Plus.
Yep.
And what about that? That evidently didn't work out for that particular Scott.
Well, I took pretty much made a decision that I was going to go to school. And, you know, my ultimate dream at the time was I wanted to build hot rods. You know, I thought that was the cat's meow, and want to be the cool guy, and so I signed up and went down to Arizona, moved down to Arizona, went to UTI, so Universal Technical Institute, and as much as I hated high school and, you know, didn't do real well there, I graduated with a 4.0 and 7 honors out of UTI, out of college. So,
wow.
Yeah.
You know, I had the same experience when I got out of high school. I ended up, after a couple of years of fumbling around, at Brown Institute. And I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I think I excelled in it.
Yep.
But that is, when you like doing what you're doing, that's why those kids in high school that do real well and they like it have one advantage over people like you and I that didn't like it. So now you've got certification in many areas, I assume.
Correct, yep.
Transmission.
All over.
Drive chain, I guess you'd say.
Pretty much anything and everything.
Engines, diesel, gas.
Yep.
How long is that course?
It's just under 2 years, but it's 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. So it's you go to school, 6 o'clock, get out at 3. Go to work, you know, you try and scrounge up any part-time job you can. At the time, I was at a Meineke, fortunate enough that they were open till 9, so I was able to get some hours in. Work till 9, go home, do homework, and go to bed, do it all over again.
When you go home to do homework, do you bring the parts?
No, there was, fortunately, there wasn't a whole lot of, homework per se. You still had to do some assignments and whatnot. So did
JT go off to college?
He did not.
Nope. Okay. How about Nicole?
Nicole did. She did some, actually, she's fortunate enough now that she can work from home, but she's in the healthcare industry.
Okay.
She did the online.
Were your parents at first kind of disappointed on the way you were leading your life? Okay.
Yep.
And when you went down to the school, I'm sure that cost a few bucks.
Yep.
And maybe they participated in helping you.
Not much.
Not much, huh? Well, a little bit.
Yeah.
And so when you got out of there with all those certifications that you got, did they show pride?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Like, way to go, kid.
Yep.
Didn't think you'd make it.
Well, when I graduated with, the 4.0, that I think I needed to do that to impress my dad. My dad's a hard guy to impress.
I got that feeling.
Yeah.
So that means then now you got all the certification, which is a big deal.
Yep.
And people are familiar with it, that like at the various auto dealerships. And so did you want to go to work for a dealership right off the top?
I didn't. Actually, I got out of school, and I got myself a job building high-performance engines for Craig Eaton at Eaton Enterprises in Glendale, Arizona. So I pretty much had gotten to my dream, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to accomplish. And I stuck around with that for quite a while, about a year, something like that. And then.
So were you a wrench for his racing operation?
Well, the story on him is he was world pro stock truck class champion, world champ. They got rid of the class in 99. So he had this shop. They were doing all their own engine building, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, you got rid of the class. I'm just going to make sure that I keep offering, my engines to my peers. And I'm going to make sure that if they're in the pro stocks or they're in the comp eliminators, that they're going to win. So they had a beautiful shop. I mean, we went in every day. All the machinery was white. Floor was white. Walls were white. I mean, you went in and you worked on $100,000-$150,000 engines. Some of them are $250,000 engines. Just a really sweet, cool atmosphere. To be 19 and in that was amazing. It was felt like I was on top of the world.
What's the difference between a $250,000 and a $100,000 engine?
A lot. We were actually building. Well, they built a 357 cubic inch Hemi, naturally aspirated, which is just two carburetors, no power adders, no nitrous, no turbo, no blowers, and it made 1,000 horse. So they're actually defying laws of physics with these engines. They were doing what people say math says can't be done, but they were doing it. So it's.
Would they put these engines on rails, rail jobs?
A lot of them, yep. Yep, so comp class, comp eliminator, the rules are 5 pounds a car per cubic inch, any arrangement you want. So we were building 4-cylinders, 6-cylinders, 8-cylinders. There is, I believe, a few jet cars in it. So
I'm going to go off the road for a second here. A person bought a Jeep Cherokee and had it tuned up, and it took 12 spark plugs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm from the era where you looked at a spark plug, and then you went to, if there was 4 on one side, there are 4 on the other, or 6 down the middle. That's a long time ago, obviously.
Right.
But how do you use 12 spark plugs in a regular engine?
The theory behind the second spark plug is to burn off any emissions. So they want to, your initial fires, fire the cylinder, puts power into the cylinder. The second ignition is to burn off any fumes. So what they're trying to do is clean up tailpipe emissions with it.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Getting back to the race shop, the all-white race shop. and you're a 19-year-old kid, and you're working there for this big engine builder. How long did you stay there?
About a year.
Learn a lot?
I did. I learned stuff that we didn't learn in school, we'll put it that way.
Well, it defies science.
Yeah.
Did you ever go out to the track and watch it go?
A few times.
Did you say, holy cow, I sure hope it doesn't blow up?
Oh, a lot of times. Well, obviously, you get done with it, and you put it on the dyno, and you cross your fingers. That was kind of cool part, too. You know, every time you got done building one, you set it up, you put it on the dyno, you run it, and you make sure it's ready to go in a car. And it was the first couple ones I did were awesome, never had any failures. But it was really putting us perspective that if one of these does come apart, you could potentially kill somebody, you know, so you better make sure you're serious about what you're doing with these, because somebody's going 200 miles an hour and this thing comes apart, it could be catastrophic, you know.
What's a dyno or
dyno?
Dyno.
That tells you, it rates the horsepower of the engine, so it's a good way to test, make sure everything's up to par.
So is that
good tuning?
Does put the tires on the
nope,
rollers?
These ones were actually just engine dyno. So you bolt it up to basically a water brake, is what they call it. So you put some pressure behind it, put a load on it, and see how fast you can speed up the load. That's how it calculates horsepower and torque.
Hmm. So where did you go from this all-white, beautiful shop?
I went from there back to Minnesota.
Why?
I actually got homesick. And
okay.
Decided to come back here, and I was going to bring this back here. And got back, and not much of a market for it here, so it was kind of a bad move. But got me into other avenues. You know, I got in what was Furlong's, now it's Apple. I started there. They took me on right away. You know, found out I was coming back, called Ted Reavers over there. So they,
Teddy.
Said, hey, I need a job, man. Yeah. You got something for me? And he said, yeah, I'll get you in. So got in over there, ended up leaving there. Shortly after, just wasn't feeling it with the management at the time, but ended up going to Car Time. So I spent some time over at Car Time. Great place there. And then I broke my back. That's what ended my career over there. So I had to take some time off. And
how did you break your back?
On a motorcycle.
What type of motorcycle?
A little Honda.
A little Honda?
A little Honda.
How little was it?
A little 600 CBR. So, crotch rocket,
yeah.
If you may. You
know. I love the sound of those.
Yeah.
You know, I like it when they, you know, leave.
Yeah.
But they sound so... I would love to drive one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're fun. So what did you do that you broke your back?
Well, I went off the road and hit a field driveway. And Superman, telephone pole to telephone pole. Needless to say, I was in a plastic brace for about 4 or 5 months after that. So.
Were you wearing a helmet?
I was, yep.
Were you wearing leathers?
I was not, nope.
So did you get some road burn?
Nope.
No?
Nope, landed out in a plowed field. So it worked out.
Whose fault was it?
It was mine.
Were you all alone or riding
yep.
with buddies?
I was all alone.
So did you lay there for a long time?
No, I got lucky. There was a actually an EMT, an off-shift EMT right behind me, and she came up right away. It was really nice. My neighbor was out in the yard. He seen the cloud of dust, so he had come up. And
where'd that happen?
Actually, right in front of my house. At the time, it was on the 86 out by Randolph there, so close to 86 and 52.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know where that is.
Yep.
It's a nice drive.
It is.
I always wonder what those big, empty, white, black buildings are. You know which ones I mean? Okay. Maybe it's not on 86. Maybe it's on 50. But they're big, empty buildings from the Second World War. Okay. So you went flying like a Superman. There you go. High in the sky. Telephone pole to telephone pole.
Yeah.
Could you move?
I could.
And how did you know you broke your back?
You just happened to know, I guess. I don't know. It was a lot of pain.
So the MT that was right behind you, did she say, where do you hurt?
Yeah. I mean, she pretty much held me down, made sure I quit squirming and whatnot. And, well, like I said, a trip down to Mayo. And
helicopter?
Nope.
Okay. Nope.
Put me in an ambulance.
Down to St. Mary's?
St. Mary's it was, yeah.
Okay, so then what?
Casted me up, sent me home.
So, and the cast went from where to where?
It was just an upper torso cast.
So as low as the belly button? But and
No, it went right down to my hip.
Down to your hip.
Down to my hip, just underneath my armpits.
Okay, so that's kind of fun to try to walk in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you in pain?
A lot. I mean, I got home, they sent me home with some pretty good stuff, so flip on some movies and pop a couple. And
so 4 months.
Yeah.
What months of the year?
It was actually summer.
So. Oh, boy, riding season.
Yep. So, which was, not the end of the world. It was pretty decent other than having no money and no way to pay for anything. It was okay.
Well, who did you stay with?
I stayed at my house. At the time, I had a girlfriend that did a pretty good job taking care of me. And, yeah.
So that happened when?
Oh, this was
2012, 10?
Yeah, somewhere in there. It was quite a while ago. I don't remember the year exactly. But
you want to forget it?
So something I just walk away from.
Was that your bike? That's what you rode?
No.
Okay, no, whose bike was it?
The worst part about it was somebody else's bike, so I had to buy it from him.
Yeah. And what, did you have a bike yourself?
No.
Oh. Do you have one now?
Nope.
Do you ride at all?
Nope.
Because
stick to the ATVs, no.
ATVs.
Yeah, four wheels, roll cages.
Yeah. You remember that guy I told you about, Ken Larson?
Yeah.
He came down with three-wheel ATVs.
Yep.
And I was going to follow him, and I went to take off, and I started riding up the back of my legs. Because I felt like I was on a motorcycle, so I had my feet on the ground.
Sure.
And fortunately, I didn't try to steal out, but I went, what the heck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got to put your feet up here.
Yeah.
It's 21 minutes before 10 o'clock. Nate is my guest, Ikaza, and we're talking about his new businesses and what happened after the terrible accident where you 4 months of out of work, out of everything. What did you do once they took that thing off?
I went back to work.
Where?
Went back to work. Actually, it was at Car Time very shortly, and then I ended up down at Harry Brown's.
Oh, boy, you get around.
Yep.
Okay. Were you like the head mechanic because you have all that certification?
No, not the head mechanic. They got some really, really good guys there. They had, I don't think they work there anymore, but a good crew, really good crew. Had some good mentors, met some really decent people, and stuck it out there for a couple years, and then ended up meeting another guy, Woody, from Randolph. He was a salesman there.
Woody?
Yep. Yep.
He sold cars at Harry Brown's?
He did, yeah.
Lived in Cannon Falls?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You met him?
Met him. We ended up, drinking beers together and put our heads together, and he says, well, I got this shop. Maybe we should do our own thing. So in 2013, I left Harry's, and we started a Woody's Auto Inc. out in Randolph, right in the corner.
What did you call it?
It was called Woody's Auto Inc.
Woody's Auto Inc., like incorporated.
Correct,
okay.
Yep. So it was the same thing, repair shop, used car dealership.
And then in the same location you're at now?
Nope.
Where was that then?
That was right in Randolph, so it was right next to the gas station there, which is still going. He doesn't do any auto repair out of it anymore, but he's still selling cars there.
Okay. So it's Woody's place, and you're the main manager of the place. So when did you get into Nate's Garage?
I had an opportunity come up it was probably July of 2015. Gentleman down the road, Mike O'Leary, he owned what I bought. No, it used to be Mike's General Repair. Wanted to retire, came down, said, I'm going to make you a smoking deal. Come down by the house, by the business, by the shop. I'll leave it turnkey and walk away. So I did.
Did he finance it for you?
Nope.
Nope? You had to go get your own financing?
Yep.
Now, what was that like for you? Did you think, oh, my God, what am I doing?
It was a process because, I didn't have any credit because I never borrowed money. If I didn't have the money for it, I didn't buy it. You know, so what I thought I was doing myself a favor, well, really wasn't doing myself any favors. You got to have credit to get anything like that, you know. But I had enough down to make it happen and had a good partner in the deal, so it worked out really well.
So a partner signed for the credit that you needed?
Helped, yeah. Basically a co-signer, yep.
And then and then what year was that?
That was 2015.
15, and now it's 18. So you probably wiggled out of that dual borrowing part of it.
Correct, yeah. So we're on our home stretch on it. Yeah. So it's
Now you're the man.
Yep.
Yeah, and but you have partners in Reliable.
Correct.
And what made you want to go and sell? Was it all because of the knowledge about flipping cars?
Yeah, basically. Like I said, I've been doing it long enough where I've I've always had a handful of them, you know, basically in the bullpen, you want to call it. You get slow, okay, well, let's fix this one up. We'll stick it on the road and see if we can turn a profit out of it, you know. So you're only allowed to do that so many times without having a license. So before we got ourselves into any legal problems, I said we should probably do it the right way.
And
so
you went through all that paperwork that you had to go through. Well, that car I was telling you about, they ended up giving me some money for it.
Yeah.
They didn't want to give me anything at first.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, I know that these things are valuable for the air conditioner, an overhead light or a tail light or whatever.
Yep.
And they ended up giving me some money for it towards the car that I was buying. And I understand the business a little bit. So it just that when the drivetrain goes on a car, it's amazing the value drops by thousands.
Yeah, well, not very valuable if you got to push it around.
So have you ever repaired for people that said, I like my car, can you fix it?
We do it all the time. We do it all the time, and this is something that a lot of people don't understand is exactly what you're saying. You know, so you've got a vehicle that say you owe $5,000 on it. Say you owe $5,000 on it. Engine goes out. It's going to cost you $3,000 to fix it. Doesn't make any sense to turn your back on that car, be upside down $5,000, put the $3,000 into it. You still own the car. You know what you have. Typically, you get a warranty with whatever you put in, you know, and you still have it. So instead of taking the beating, you're already $5,000 upside down. Now you're going to trade it in for $200. Maybe, if you're lucky, they'll give you $200. Or, a salvage yard is going to give you $200 for it. So now you're $5,200 upside down before you even step into something else, which could give you the same problem 3 months down the road. You just don't know. So now you're, say you buy another car for $5,000. You're over $10,000 into that car, and you don't realize it. So I always try and encourage people to fix what they have. Obviously, it's good for business. It's financially responsible. I think it's more responsible to try and keep what you have going.
So you put a short block in then?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, you know, if we had something like that, I would put in a reman engine, something that comes with a 3-year, 100,000-mile warranty. You know, so you've got some peace of mind. We are a NAPA Auto Care Center, so anything that we do, you've got a nationwide coverage, 24 months, 24,000 automatically. I mean, I put an alternator in your car, you're going to have coverage nationwide. That alternator fails in 2 years, 24,000, you pop into another NAPA Auto Care Center, there you go, it's taken care of free of charge.
Is it hard to switch out an engine?
It depends on the car. You know, again, it's you gotta step back and think of it as this thing got assembled on an assembly line. So you really need to put yourself in that mindset when you're doing something like that. How did they mass produce this? You know, and then once you can figure that out, you know exactly how to take them apart and put them back together. It's just another day. You know, it's just a job.
Do you actually fix engines that die?
We do quite a few of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And what you what
metal
usually
brake timing belts, you know, yeah. So bend valves. So we'll put valves in a new timing belt. You know,
what usually goes on them?
Well, honestly, now what we're seeing is people are running them out of oil. So people have become very dependent on oil life monitors, which I think are great to some point. To some extent, they're terrible. We're not teaching automotive very much anymore. I'm not sure that Northfield even has an autos program anymore. They might have auto maintenance, but I think the younger generation is really going to struggle with this maintenance deal. You know, it's hard for me to get people to even buy into doing flushes, you know, timing belts. It just goes over their head as to why they should spend, you know, $1,000 replacing a timing belt and a water pump because the car's got 100,000. Well, it runs fine. Well, I get it runs fine, but if that belt breaks, now you got a $4,000 bill coming at you. So would you rather spend $1,000 now or $4,000 later, or risk losing the car? You know, you're gonna junk the car over $1,000. It just doesn't make sense to me. But like I said, the newer generation here, the younger generation, is really struggling with knowing how to maintain something. We've become so used to, you know, we're in such a disposable world at this point. You know, I don't think you can get a phone to last over 2 years, or it can't keep up with the updates. It quits working, so you throw it away, you get a new phone. You know, computers, laptops. You used to spend big money on a laptop. Well, they're outdated in a year. TVs, same thing. You know, all the technology, as great as it is, it's all disposable. You know, so I think people are starting to treat their cars like that, and it's, I don't know, I guess I grew up a little different, you know. It's an investment to me. But
What about those lights that come on? And, you know, you go crazy because you don't know what they all mean and all this and all that. And should a person immediately go to somebody that knows what the lights mean?
The sooner you do it, the cheaper it's going to be. That's another one that we battle all the time with people is, well, how long has it been doing this? Well, it just started happening. You know, I get somebody come in, brakes are making noise. Well, how long has it been doing it? Just happened. Well, I know that it didn't just happen because you've got your pistons so far out on the caliper, you're into the rotor, you know, into the fins of the rotor. This didn't just happen. You know, you've been driving it like this for months. And I know that.
Yeah.
And then when I call them on it, you know, then, well, yeah, I don't, you know, you're not going to save yourself any money trying to keep anything out of the story, you know. Just be upfront about it. Let us know. The more you can tell us, the cheaper it's going to be for you. So I don't have to sit and backtrack and find out that your brother-in-law tried to wire up or fix all these wires. And, you know, I spend 2 hours trying to figure it out, and then I come across that and I find that. You know, I'm not going to be very sympathetic, for one. Two, you could have saved yourself the 2 hours saying, yeah, he tried to fix this over here. I could have went right to the problem and saved you a couple hours on the book, a couple hours for me, and you a lot more money.
I learned my lesson in a Bronco. The studios used to be out in Waterford, and I would be the first one there. And as I was going there, the red light came on. And I got there and went in and did my thing. And when I started the car after 9 o'clock, oh, yeah, that red light, I better get it over to, at that time, J.D. Ford and Mercury, and, you know, have them check, you know, tell me what I should do.
Yep.
On the way there, out on County Road 47, it just stopped.
Yep.
It stopped. And they said, why in the heck did you do that?
Yeah.
You should have just left it. That red light was on it, right? Yeah. If you'd have just left it there, we could have checked it out and hauled it in and get it taken care of. They had to put in a whole new short block for it.
Yep.
And they're not cheap.
No, Not at all.
Okay. Did you ever work on any race cars from Elko Speedway?
No, I didn't get into that a whole lot. My cousin's into it. Obviously, I've got a lot of friends that are into it. I did last year recently get into the spectators out there. Did really well until I crashed. But it's fun. So I got another one getting put together here.
We'll what did you run together. In that spectators?
I had a 95 Trans Am that we ran, and
you didn't crash during the spectator race,
yep,
did you?
Yep, championship race. So it was actually fast enough that we were. They made me run with the Outlaw class, which are basically full-blown race cars. But it was fun. It was an experience. You know, I know what not to do now. So,
for those of you that don't know what a spectator race is that let's say 50 people want to be in it. Make it 51 just for the heck of it. They draw names, and you got A in against B. Whoever wins that race goes to the back of the line, the loser leaves, and they keep doing it until they got half the people that ran the first time. So now they take the ones that won, and they do a process of elimination on that, and then they keep going until you get to the championship. And you were in the championship?
Yep.
What was who were you running against?
I was actually running against a friend of mine, Justin Otterholt. He's got a little turbo MR2. And he had been track champ out there, spectator champion for 8 years. So
it was
pretty cool to end up my first year in that race with him.
Yeah.
I had won a couple weekends prior to that.
Should he have been in the Outlaw division?
Well,
you think?
I guess they put us in that because, you know, we're fast. But, I mean, these other guys have full roll cages and everything, so safety-wise, we're pushing cars that shouldn't be pushing what we
were. So where was your accident?
Turn four.
Turn four. Oh, you were trying to win.
Yep.
Went up into the wall?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So.
And no roll bars?
No.
No cage?
No.
Just a helmet.
Seatbelt, helmet, some airbags. Yeah.
Airbags?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Did they go off?
They did.
Did a black guy?
I didn't, no. Not with a helmet on, no.
We will continue our conversation after these messages, and we'll be right back on the Wayne Eddy Affair with our guest, Nate Ikaza.
Do you have a wedding in your future? Is navigating the options for your big day leaving your head spinning? Not to worry. We have good news for you. On Thursday, May 10th, head to the second annual Northfield Area Wedding Vendor Fair at the Gardens of Castle Rock. With over 35 vendors, every aspect of your special day will be covered. From venues to caterers, wedding planners to florists, photographers to DJs, and everything in between. Go to the Gardens of Castle Rock Facebook page to check out the video from last year's fair. Click on the link at kymnradio.net for more information and to register for the fair and your chance to win cash prizes at the Northfield Area Wedding Vendor Fair, Thursday, May 10th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Gardens of Castle Rock.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living, conveniently located in downtown Northfield, has got a big case of spring fever. Our tenants embrace life to the fullest, and one way of doing that is cheering on the Minnesota Twins. Sure, we've got beautiful apartments, great food, and all the supportive services needed, but another thing we get really excited about is baseball. To catch up on the latest Twins news and get a tour, call me, Kathy Olson, at 507-650-0141.
Hello, everybody. It's the Wayne Eddy Affair coming to conclusion on this beautiful Tuesday morning, and it is May Day in Northfield, Minnesota, and celebrating is Nate Ikaza. And, Nate, let's wrap it up here. We did pretty much everything. You're a certified mechanic in air conditioning and everything and all that.
Yeah.
And so what do you do for a social life besides working at Nate's Garage 7 days a week?
Still hanging out on the lake. Spent a lot of time out on Lake Bilsby. Started going over to the river last year. Do a lot of four-wheeling, ATVing. Camping. Now every other weekend doing some racing out at Elko. A little of this, a little of that. You know, adding on bought a house, so a lot of home projects and all, you know. So
well,
stay busy.
I think one of the social things that I know about is a lady friend that you are dating.
Yeah.
And she's my little sweetheart. Yeah. I've known her all of her life.
Yeah, she said
and
that.
We're talking about Molly Demand.
Yep.
And she actually rides in the raid occasionally.
Yes,
or sometimes. That's pretty amazing.
Yep.
What do you think when you watch her?
That's exciting. It's exciting. No matter what I got going on, I always make time to go down there and watch her at least once. I know it makes her happy.
Did you want to turn around and say, that's a girl up there, that's a woman?
Nah, I let everybody else figure it out.
Yeah, those were the days.
Yeah, no, she does a great job with it. Her whole family does an awesome job with it.
Yeah,
they're very, very passionate about that and being involved with it. So it's cool to watch. You know, I like that she's involved with it. You know, she obviously looks very, very forward to it every year. So
good.
Yeah.
Now, in your case, what you got to look forward to is you've had your own garage for 3 years.
Yep.
And then on March 3rd, you put together a business called Reliable Autos.
Yep.
And anything else that you got going for you?
That's about it at this point. You know, I like to see them both grow. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to gain customers, gain some trust, and you know, keep serving, keep helping people out, keep educating them. And
well, do you think word of mouth is the best advertising?
It's been huge, honestly. We did a flyer for the first time about a week ago. I don't know if any of the viewers got it, but we've got some awesome specials out there. $20 oil changes. We've got a $20 pothole special. Come in. We're going to balance rotate your tires, and we're going to line your car for $20. So definitely something to take advantage of. That's going to run here through June. So I don't think anybody else is doing that. But like I said, I want to see some new faces. Definitely be able to help some more people. And then we just got a chassis dyno. So that's going to be coming up here pretty quick here. We're going to be able to do some dyno pulls. I'm going to try and make an event one Saturday a month throughout the summer. See if we can get some classic cars, some cool, you know, you got an import, classic, whatever you want. Bring it out. Let's put it on the dyno. Let's see what it does. You know, let's have a beer. Let's talk and get to know each other. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Are you in any car clubs? You have any cars that are unique and different?
I'm not. I've got a couple projects. Nothing worth talking about yet, but once they're ready, we'll share. We've got a 67 GTO, and then I've got another Trans Am that I'm going to be putting together here, and then about an 86 Regal. Kind of going back to that. Yeah, kind of going back to that first car thing, you know, the G-body style. I always liked it, so I'm going to give that one another whirl and see what happens.
Well, you mentioned that word of mouth is a good way to promote, right?
Yep.
Well, guess what we're doing right now?
Word of mouth.
That's what it is. Yep. We're just talking here.
Yep, exactly.
And people are listening.
Yep.
It is almost 11 o'clock, so I'm going to say thank you for coming in. And thank you for that interesting story about your Nicaragua background. And got any plans on going back?
I would like to here as soon as I can take some time off.
Got your two babies to work with.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate
it as well.
And now I get to show you how good I am at computers. And let's see. There we go. Look at that. I'm now the official identification. This is KYMN Radio from Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on the AM dial for nearly 50 years, and now the 95.1 FM.
Locally owned, independently programmed, 95.1, the 1.
One road leads to heaven, one road. Sometimes in the morning.